Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday, we started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues, and we continued our relationship topic, signs you're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. And I think it's kind of a no-brainer when you're still in love with your ex. I should really hope anybody who's still in love with their ex would understand that there is really, really some work that needs to be done before you get yourself into a new relationship. But I gotta tell you, you know, some stuff that I see, some stuff that I hear, you know, even something as blatant as that wouldn't set up no red flag. They really wouldn't. There would still be people who would think that even with being in love with an ex would not, you know, like send out an alarm to get yourself together before you enter into another relationship. Yeah, it would be a no-brainer for some, but others feel like, you know, I've seen people, you know, and I've been told, you know, as a pastor, you know, you have that conversation with people, and, you know, even something like that, I've had someone say to me, well, you know I still have feelings for so-and-so, but, you know, I'm not going to ever stop having feelings for someone, so, you know, so maybe once I begin to love someone new, you know, I'll fall out of those feelings and, you know, things would be better. And I'm like, are you serious? You're literally going to go into a relationship having active and knowledgeable, you know, and a clear understanding that you have feelings for someone. It's like, how is that possibly fair to the next person? I don't get it. But, yeah, literally have been told sometimes you need to be with another person to get over the last person. Oh, I can't take it. I can't take it. I'm like, ooh, I can't even love that because people just take your feelings and just do all kind of things with it. Yeah, no, that was something I was literally told. That's not a hypothetical, okay? If you have major trust issues, you don't need two or you're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. Well, no, because that means that everything the person does, you're going to be second guessing it. No. If you can't see that, I don't know. You know, some of this stuff is like clearly a no-brainer. You know, if you don't trust people, then how could you even make that person's life happy? How could you even, how could that person even enjoy you? Because everything everything the person does, you're going to be looking over their shoulder, worrying about who's calling them, who's texting them, you know, how long they've been out to the store. And, oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my. But here's one that I really, really like. You're not a member of the self-love club. And, you know, if you don't love yourself, you clearly could not, you know, really make someone else, you know, okay with being with you. Because what does that mean for them? You're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. Okay? All right now. You know, it's again, another no-brainer. Another no good. Well, we got the Duke Time Cruiser talking. And you know the Duke Time Crew, they don't mind sharing a story or two. They don't mind putting themselves out there. And they were very, very candid and transparent. You know, when I did ask the question, you know, when in your life have you ever not been ready to be in a relationship? You were nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. And they really exposed themselves. You know, it didn't surprise me at all, but, you know, these are the things that, you know, the Due Time Crew and myself, we're willing to do to help you get delivered. You know, sometimes when people start talking, the first thing, you know, that people who are struggling say is, you know, well, they don't understand. You know, they've never been where I've been. You know, they don't understand because they've never gone through the things that I've gone through. And, you know, sometimes you don't have to go through something exact. You know, it doesn't have to be exactly like, you know, another person. However, it should definitely, you know, send up some kind of flag, and conceptually you can get it. You know, it doesn't have to be the exact same instance, but again, the concept is exactly the same. So it should be able to send a signal to other people, and, you know, they just put their issue or topic in the, you know, in the blank. So, hey, you do what you do. You hear what you hear. You move how you move. But in all things, you know, what I really want to stress is, you know, whether we feel like we really need to be in a relationship or not, you know, my prayer is that God would lead each and every one of us. Because my biggest concern, you know, as a pastor, is how are we destroying other lives? Yeah, this thing is real. This thing is real. You know, like I said, somebody said to me, you know, well, you know, sometimes you need to be with someone else to get over the last person you were with. And, you know, there's no concern for another's life. You know, so no matter what emotional roller coaster you take that person through, as long as it benefits you, then it'll be all right. And we can't live like that. We can't live moving forward as Cedric the Entertainer would say, all willy-nilly. No. You know, we can't do things like that. We really have to make it our business to, you know, get it together first. You know, I don't think people really understand that. You really need to get yourself better first before you enter into a relationship. Because when you have the potential of messing up or damaging or just upsetting someone else's world, you know, then we got a problem, you know. And Pastor KL kind of said it yesterday, you know, when he was talking about, you know, his journey. And he said, you know, I didn't care. You know, I didn't care. And but it wasn't fair to the individual who thought that, you know, she was possibly getting into a relationship with someone who was ready, pretty much is what he said. And you really have to think about those things. You really, really, really have to think about those things. And when we don't, you know, where does that leave us? Does that person's life end up in our hands and we're not taking into consideration the damage that we have now done in another person's life? I think we need to be doing a little more thinking. So that's why when I actually saw this last week, I thought this was like an excellent, excellent topic. But you've got to be real with yourself. You've got to be real with yourself. If you're not real with yourself, then you have the potential of damaging other people. And I'm going to be honest, at the rate things are going these days, and the Bible saying that the righteous shall scarcely make it in, I don't want to be under the banner of doing something thoughtless, careless, and God possibly holding that against me. Yeah, because a lot of things we should know that we claim we don't know, that we should understand, but we claim we don't understand. God is not dismissing all of that stuff. He is really not as dismissive of our life's choices and the moves that we make as we are. You know, we give ourselves a lot of excuses. And I would love to hear the conversation between you and God when it comes to the point where God will potentially reprimand you and you standing up there talking about, well, you know, that's what I thought was right. And, you know, I'm telling you, some of the conversations that I've had with people during some counseling sessions or even in an open discussion, you know, just kind of people just sitting around talking, and I'm like scratching my head. I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh Lord, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. So we're going to have to really get ourselves together and make it happen. Really have to get ourselves together and make it happen. So, you know, again, God is not as dismissive about things that, you know, that we, how we are dismissive of things. So, you know, this, you're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. I hope those of you who are listening are really, you know, paying attention. Because God is not, he's not dismissing these things. Yeah, no, he's not dismissing these things. And when I see it, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the righteous shall scarcely make it in. Man, this is serious. Really serious. Because when you talk about that, I would hate to have to be on the judgment line. Because I can't even imagine what I would say to God. Because, you know, there's some people that will have that conversation. You know, we will all have to answer God. If you're caught up in that first, you know, in that first resurrection, man. Oh, that's where I want to be. I pray every step, that's where you want to be. I want to be standing on the judgment line having to think of an excuse. I got to talk to God. and then I have to find out the hard way that my name ain't in that book, and I'm pleading, and no. I'm going to leave that to some other folks. So, you know, let's get on the ball and let's do the things that God wants us to do. And, you know, hey, let's get it together. All right? Well, I switched it yesterday. Don't waste God's prayer time. Now, you know, there's so many ways to look at this thing here. So many ways to look at this thing. You know, I think the first thing I thought about was when, you know, you're praying. And, you know, what is God saying when you're praying? What is he thinking when you're praying? How is he receiving your prayer? And, you know, this may come up again today. It came up last week, but it may come up again today. You know, what could God be thinking when you're praying? You know, yes, I'm still talking about this thing. You know, don't, you know, do anything that may hinder your prayers from being answered. And that's one of the things that I thought about when the switch tip was given yesterday. And I'm thinking about all the things we say and all the things, again, that I have been told people pray about. And I'm just like, wow, is that what you prayed about? Is that what you prayed for? You know, I think about how many times we go to God about things that we ain't going to be able to go to God about. Because we ain't ready. We ain't nowhere near ready. You know, that's how people say, you know, that's please take me to get a job. And I'm looking at your life in absolute mess. Well, what could you do for an employer when you are a big old mess? You don't get up on time. You're not reliable. So why am I going to pray for you to get a job? No, I'm going to pray that God help you, you know, get the components that would make you someone who an employee could potentially hire and be satisfied with that decision, because that's what's more important. Not that you just get a job. And sure enough, I'm watching that individual today from afar. They quit their job in the old time they want to, and this ain't the first time, and it ain't just one employer. You know, you get mad at something that is so unrelated to your workplace, and you get mad and you gonna quit your job. You get mad, you're not gonna go in. You know, somebody smoking weed on the job. And I'm like, yo, and this is what you wanted when you were asking for the prayer? Nah. You know, so that's where my head went. You know, don't waste God's time. You know, and it's subjective to who's listening to it. And you know, some people say, you know, why can't you pray for this, or why can't you pray for that? I've had that question as well. Why can't you pray for this, or why can't you pray for that? And you need to be praying within the will of God. That means that takes some thinking. Yeah, that takes some thinking. But, you know, when you ain't nowhere near ready, you ain't thinking like that. So, you know, again, our switch tip and our conversation for the morning, that was connected. And I don't know how far we gonna get in life, my ladies and gentlemen, my sisters and brothers. You know, I'm kind of mellow today because I'm thinking. My head is in real thinking mode. And, you know, I just give God thanks that he's brought me to where he's brought me. And I understand some things. Because when you listen to other people talk, you realize that, you know, I could have been there. And I think one of them said it yesterday. You know, I could have been there. I think Chantique may have even said it too. And I'm like, thank you, God, that I'm not there. Thank you, because I could have been there. I could have could have been bigger. You know, some of the things that I've experienced, people have experienced less, and are, you know, people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol and all kind of things. And I look and go, thank you, God, for just snatching Stephanie up and just keeping me from going down a certain road. It has nothing to do with Stephanie. It has nothing to do with me at all. But it is the mercy and grace of God that has kept me from some dark areas, from making some wrong decisions, from choosing the wrong things, or even when I chose the wrong things, you know, God turned it around. Not because of something that I did or said, but because his mercy and grace prevailed. Amen. Thank you, God, for just looking at Stephanie and shaking your head and saying, let me just get this girl. Thank you. Thank you for you having pity on me. Thank you. Because man, oh man, oh man, if I was left to be where other people are, I'd be a mess and not even see it or know it. And, you know, how do you, you know, it's only God that knows how you're going to get out of that or how long you're going to marinate in that before you are actually out of it. So I just give God that. I just give God that because he's just been wonderful to Stephanie. And, you know, because he's been wonderful to Stephanie, he's been wonderful to Shanti, Shawnee, and Tamasia. And because he's been wonderful to Shanti, Shawnee, and Tamasia, he's been wonderful to Mariah. Amen. You know, amen. You know, because that stuff gets extended into other lives and the congregation that he's given me, you know, because he snatched me by my collar. I can now, you know, feed them differently. I can now warn them. I can now advise them. You know, don't go down that road. That's going to be a hard road. Some people listen and some people don't. But you can only do what you do. So, you know, don't waste the prayer time. Just don't. Because you're going to need that prayer time. And, you know, again, I said it might come up again today. And it may not. Oh, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And we are discussing in my two cents segment, Kingdom Business, the series, Episode 4. Now, I invite you to join us for that conversation. 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. If you want to chat with us live, we get it done like that on Tuesdays now. And if you just want to simply text and send in your thoughts, 347-285-7777 is the way to go. You know, just text, you know, send us that little text and we're glad we okay. Well, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to go and get, you know, that little healthy breakfast. I'm gonna give you the opportunity to go tell somebody that it's due time and Pastor Steph is on. And I'm going to tell you, make sure you don't go very far, because we'll be right back.
Making the most of sunny days doesn't mean putting your health at risk.
In the Las Vegas heat, your body needs more than the daily recommendation of water. If that seems hard, you can try to improve the taste by adding fresh fruit slices.
Plus, don't forget to protect your skin. Reapply sunscreen every 2 hours and after swimming.
Also, check the expiration date. Sunscreen 3 years and older is no good.
Take 5 and care for your health this summer.
This Take 5 to Care message is brought to you by Henderson Hospital.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Tea Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, the day we air our segment, Mikey Faith, and we are reviewing Kingdom Business, the series, and today is episode 4. I'm so happy that you're with us today, and looking forward to you joining us in conversation. 516-387-1358 if you want to chat. Yes, if you want to talk live, please make sure you join us. And if you just want to send a text, we can take that too. 347-285-7777. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time for my 2 cents. We're going to do that review of Kingdom Business, the BET Plus series starring Yolanda Adams, Michael Beach, Soraya McNeil, Michael Jai White. Oh, we've had 3 blazing conversations. And let me get my partner in crime on. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. Well, let's get that synopsis in. The title of the episode, If I Could. The Bishop Emeritus comes to town as the Venetian Empire crumbles and Rebel refuses Caesar's gospel directives and considers recording a tribute track to her mother. Now, you know, they kind of got on my nerves last night. I don't know about the rest of you, but yeah, they really got on my nerves last night. I was quite annoyed, and I just thought that there was just some unnecessary things that happened and some eye-opening things that happened. So I'm going to let you get this started, Shanti. And what you got? What you got? What you got?
I don't know. I don't know if it's just like as the episodes go on that the acting just gets worse for everybody. Because it just seems like, okay, what's going on with the quality of the acting, the point, like you said, the synopsis of the episode. I don't know. I feel like maybe, I don't know if it's the acting or if it's maybe the way it's written, but it just seems, and I think someone said it last week, it seemed a little forced, you know, and it's really putting me in the mind of the show star, because a couple of weeks ago I had to Google if Lee McDaniels had anything to do with this show, because it's really putting me in the mind of Star, this whole thing with the mother being a singer before she passed and her passing the way that she did. And, you know, now Caesar wants Rebel to, you know, pretty much like resurrect her mother's music, but just put her own personality and stuff in. So I don't know, it just seems forced, and maybe it's the storyline that seems forced, and that's why the acting for me. And, you know, before it was just, okay, this one's acting is bad. This week it was just like everybody's acting was like questionable. But especially the scene with Danita and Rebel in the office. Oh, my goodness. I was like, what is this? What is this? This is not real. There's no way. You're supposed to be some street chick. And you're supposed to be someone who isn't from the street. And it was just so fake. I was just looking like, okay, I don't know what it is I'm watching, but, you know, I don't know. It's just seeming so forced and not, I don't even know how to describe it, but yeah, I wasn't a fan of this episode for multiple reasons, but especially because, like, that scene was just like, what? That is not how that would have happened.
Yeah, definitely, since, you know, she goes barging up. Okay, so you got to explain things, you know.
Yes, I'm sorry. She, so, Rebel goes barging into Danita's office right after this hearing from Caesar that Danita is the reason why her mother, you know, felt so low about herself and committed suicide, and why her mother's music never really went anywhere because Danita had some high level of interference with her life and her music. And now Rebel is on fire. So she goes to the office and now she's supposed to be so upset. But it was just the way she was acting and then the way the other one was acting. And it's like, if I found out that you had something to do with my mother's passing, I'm not walking in there talking. You know, you done barged past the secretary, the assistant, to go in there to talk. That's not real life.
You know, well, here's the thing, and I want to take this back a little bit, because I was a little annoyed when it even came out. So you have Rebel, who is the stripper, ex-stripper, mm-hmm. and she's already giving him a hard time about singing this gospel music. Now, that mm-hmm. to me was annoying in and of itself. You've agreed that you
right.
won't sing this music, but now you're going to go try to push your desire in, you know, into this, you know, equation. So she's already giving Caesar, the record executive for the label, you know, this hard time. So you see she's giving you a hard time already. And then you go and tell her that Danita, which is Yolanda Adams, you know, character, that she's responsible for your mother's death. So are you self-sabotaging here? Why would you tell her that
right.
this woman was responsible for her mother's death if you're really trying to keep her focused? Because clearly she needs to be focused. This has been brought up several times, that there's been no nurturing on a spiritual level, that she's just
right.
been thrown into, you know, let's just get her to sing, and which is why she's responding the way she does, because in her head she just wants the money from all of this. But if there had been some more spiritual counseling going on, then she, you know, would be maybe a little different as of this point with the rubbing, you know, everybody the wrong way. You know, she shows up to a studio session high with the boyfriend. So
right.
already you can see that you're dealing with a troubled individual. And you keep trying to force her to behave and dress, because he even mentioned something about her dress and, you know, her clothing. And then I get it. You know, you're trying to help her understand that, you know, there's you know, etiquette to this thing.
Right.
But you would now go on top of that and tell her that, oh, you know, Danita, you know, she's responsible for your mother's death. However he said it, whatever words he used. But he clearly told her that
right.
Danita was responsible for the mother's death. And now that takes her, that would possibly take her down a different road. Why?
Right.
Why would you do something stupid like that? That's dumb.
Because
that
you
was dumb.
You felt like you needed to give her the ammunition to now want to sing the song. So if I tell her that Danita is the reason why your mother could never really, you know, make it, now this is supposed to be, oh, well, my retaliation should be now I'm going to show her what a success I could be. Like, my mother could have been a success. But, again, like you said, when you go and put a battery in someone's back, you don't know what their response is going to be. Now, has she went and got a gun
And
went to this office and shot her in the face, you would have been responsible for that. You're thinking her retaliation would have been in the booth. That wouldn't have, that's not the average person's outlet after hearing something like that.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
You didn't just say, oh, well, I found out, you know, who really stole your song. You know, because even in the streets, you know, people get killed for less. But, you know, it's not like you said something like that. You know, you said something, you know how, like you said, this has been a fight for her. You know how she was about even, you know, hearing her mother's music, let alone you wanting her to sing it and redo it. You know, and you was to say, now you're not responsible. Well, you can't assume that this is how she's going to react to that. So now whatever her reaction is, you're not responsible for that. And it was just so, like, the whole scene was just annoying. Everything from her storming past Tamar Braxton to the way she knocked the stuff off the table, I was like, oh, come on. If you're going to do this, then throw a book at her head or something. Like, that was just so unrealistic. It was just like, okay, you don't seem mad. You seem script mad. You don't seem real life mad. And this is a situation where you need to seem real life mad, because you need to have the viewers wanting to go in there and take her head off. Now I want to take your head off, because this was whack. You know, this was just like...
Here's my other concern, and it's something that you keep pressing about, you know, this was forced. Well, guess what? That's what we do in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to also put the battery in her back because he's mad at Danita.
Right.
So now you're her for Danita. And again, like you said, had she retaliated differently, then you would have been responsible for something. You're trying to amp her up, and she
mm-hmm.
doesn't have it in her. Let's look at it like that. Let's look at, forget about the acting for right now. Let's talk about reality. You know, you put the battery in people's back sometimes that they really don't have that anger or that response level that you're looking for them to have. And sometimes they feel forced to actually go and do something. And that's why a lot of times we end up with the murders, because now you're trying to live up to, you know, somebody else's expectation.
Right.
As to what you should do. So that's more of what I kind of paid attention to. Yeah, it was whack. It was forced. But I also thought about the fact that, you know, when you really do stuff like this and people really don't have it in you, because we see that all the time on TV, you know, where there's that weak individual and y'all didn't pump that person up. And now they're going now and they've gotten this gun and now they're going to do some damage because everybody's saying, yeah. And they like play the voices back, you know, like this is supposed to be going on in the person's head. That stuff is real. That stuff is real. You know, I want to go back a little bit because I want to talk about how. We talked last week about Bishop praying over the daughter and how, you know, the prayers could be hindered, you know, from being answered because of your lifestyle. How you sleeping with the secretary? Really? I'm like, I'm so done here. I'm so done. So because last week I brought up that you're sleeping with the chick who got killed. Then you were digging up in the people's, you know, investigation, asking subliminally the questions to find out if there was, you know, more information that they knew. Then you were asking, you know, other questions and sending the guy out to go find the flash drive. This week, you're sleeping with the secretary, and now you can't concentrate on the sex because you're thinking about the dead girl. Yo, I
yeah, because you sent someone in to search for any evidence. They didn't produce anything, but now all of a sudden the authorities have this newfound evidence that brings them closer to a suspect and closer to an arrest. I wouldn't be able to focus on sex either. Because especially after you had just sent someone in to, you know, pretty much raid her, the girl's belongings. That means somebody done beat you to it. You don't know who the somebody is for sure. You know, you could, even if you assume, you still don't know for sure. And now you don't know what's going on. So now your head is all over the place. Like, you can't even focus on the other chaotic part of your life. And now the secretary was supposed to be the side main chick. It's like, wait, you know what? Everybody just twisted. You think about that girl, you supposed to be doing this for me, and you supposed to be feeling this for me. There's no such thing as a side main chick. Well, I'm sorry. I spit a little around. A main side chick. There's no such thing as a main side chick, but this is what we fabricate in our minds in the streets. I know I'm the side one, but I'm supposed to be the main side one. You ain't supposed to have nobody else unless we doing this together. Unless we're sleeping with someone else together, you ain't supposed to have nobody else on the side. So now you got her annoying you. And when you have a side chick, they're not supposed to be annoying. That's why they're a side chick. How you annoying as a side chick? They might as well just stay with the wife and that's it.
Right.
But this is what happens. And so now you got all the, I wouldn't be able to focus either, because now you know, they presented, if you go back to episode one, you know, they're supposed to be this fake power couple who has all this control. And now they're, you know, forced to see that they don't have all the control and the pull that they thought they did or that they once did. So, no, you can't focus on all the other stuff you were normally doing, because now it's like, wait, I'm not in control like that. I ain't got the pull like that. I can't bully people the way I used to. You know, I can't, you know, manipulate people the way, now you're becoming bullied. You're becoming manipulated. Everything is spiraling out of control for you. And it's just like, so now this one is supposed to be the one that she was really, you know, cheating with or creeping with. It was, I was like, oh boy, give me a break.
But my thing is, how much you gonna drag this bishop through all of this lifestyle? I'm like, yo, they are ripping the church apart big time. And you know, I got this mixture of thought, and I'm gonna, you know, come back to that later when I'm talking to my pastoral team. But you know, you really show a messy bishop. Now, then you got him asking the police chief, yo,
right?
Really? So now he's going to sit and interrogate the police chief, and the police chief says, now, you know, I can't give you no information on an ongoing investigation. And he now, listen. Now he goes into bribing police chief. You know, when you were 2 years old, what was done for you back then? And, you know, we just voted you in. I'm like, okay.
But you throwing something in his face that you didn't even do. My father-in-law got you out of trouble. What did that have to do with you?
Right.
You're still not the one who has the pull. It's still your father-in-law who has the pull,
right,
technically. And then you went, and now you try to bully Caesar. And I love the way Caesar was just so calm and just shut him down. So calmly, he didn't raise his voice. I was like, yes, thank you. Because, again, showing that you cannot manipulate, you cannot pull. There's always someone bigger and badder than you. And this is why you can't focus on the sex, because now you see that everybody doesn't play your game, and there's people who play that game better than you.
Yes, and they really showed this bishop's side, because even when he went back to his wife, even the conversation that took place between the two of them,
yes,
I was like, really, y'all? You know, well,
yes,
he already knew, or he still kept the letter. And if I were to get that letter, I would have kept it too.
Yeah.
Oh,
Right, when he said that, he said, yeah, had you written something to me like that, then I would have. And I was just like, who could sit in this? Who could sit in this fake relationship, produce children all these years? Because let's just say they were only together during the duration of the children's lives. Them kids have to be at least in their mid-20s. These are at least 20-something years of this being fake. Oh, my goodness.
Well, listen,
He
came out himself and said, well, now you're going to start, you have to start acting.
Right,
like
you
want
me.
Right. I'm like, you know what, man? Listen, we got some folk on the line, our dedicated contributors to this conversation. Where's Anika? Let's say good morning to Anika. Good morning, Anika.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Pastor and everybody. How you doing?
Good morning.
Thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you.
What you got for us today?
You guys touched on a lot that I was thinking about with this episode. It was so funny because their relationship now touches on what you all were talking about yesterday, about going into relationships where you still have feelings for another person. And you're trying to please your father, please the image that you wanted to project, and you subject yourself to this miserable marriage for over 20-plus years. She has ambitions of being a bishop. She has ambitions of being a superstar, and that's what you focus on. And now it's like this is the domino effect of those decisions. Children are not where they need to be. The daughter feels neglected. The business is now falling. Everything crumbles after a while. You can't sustain that image forever.
Absolutely. What was the best scene for you?
I don't know if there was the best scene, honestly.
Okay.
But
well, the best
I think if I had to pick one, it would be Taj and his struggle with trying not to have sex with the girlfriend. And this is, again, an example of the company you keep. You're already going to try to yoke yourself to a female that's not on the same level of where you are and drag you down the path, and now you're going to have to go repent to God about. Like you always tell us, like, don't let somebody else's problem become your problem. Now you get in trouble with God.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't care anything about keeping herself and living right and things like that. So guess, and you supposedly are. So now you compromise yourself to appease her and compromise your promise to God.
Absolutely. And he ends up giving in. So this is exactly why I always say, run. You can't stay in that and just feel like you're going to be something. Because I'm going to tell you something. Each time you stay in that, you're going to keep getting broken down. So finally, you're going to end up, like you said, you know, finally giving in to this entire pressure. What on the scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5, no, did I say that 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, where does this rate for you?
3.
Another 3. Okie dokie. Thank you so much, Anika, for joining us today. Keep on listening. Enjoy your day. Have a blessed one. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
All right. We got our girl Vivian on. Vivian decides she's going to come on every Tuesday, including her weekly Wednesday. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Okay, thank you. Okay. What you got?
Like I said, y'all pretty much touched on everything that I was thinking as well. That scene when she went into the lady's office after learning that she had something to do with her mother's death, I agree with Shanti. She should have been turned up, and all she did was knock a couple papers off the desk. I was like, are you kidding me? What was that? That was so trash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was so trash. It should have been some furniture moving in that office.
Right.
Well, had it been Pastor Charlene, there would have been some furniture moving, Viv. What was your best worst scene?
My best scene, I think, was when I can't remember their names, but when the guy was praying with Rebel, I was like, finally, and then she killed it. I was like, finally, and I did good to show, like, okay, y'all been trying to push this girl to sing and be this person and be this gospel artist, and it hasn't been working. But finally, when he starts praying and she kills it, it really showed the power of prayer. So I like that scene. I really did.
Okay, well, you know, it's interesting because I didn't make a connection with that. I thought the same thing. Oh, okay, well, he finally decided to pray. But I didn't make the connection of, you know, okay, so the next time they showed this video, and I did want to talk about that, the video was very well done. You know, they showed two people that could really sing. And, you know, for those who didn't see it, you remember when Natalie Cole did the two songs with her dad via video, and, you know, she sang alongside of him. Well, that's what they did with the mom. And I didn't make the connection as to how well this video was done in comparison to that last piece of garbage that they put together. But that was a nice connection, Vivian. That was a nice connection. Nice connection.
The other scene that stuck out is when the son gave in to the sex. Yeah, I've seen America's Next Top Model when Tyra Banks was going off on the girl. She was like, how dare you? We were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. That was me last night when he gave in. I was like, no. God, where are you? Somebody come back on the door. Somebody do something.
Yeah. So disappointed. Very disappointed. I knew it was going to happen.
Yes.
And, you know, even her terminology, they keep saying that D word, really annoys me because it really shows how deep in the street she really is. And she doesn't care anything about him because she keeps throwing at him. That's what she's doing. She wants this from him. And he keeps sticking in there with her because she's trash as far as, y'all keep using that word, trash. She is straight trash as far as I'm concerned.
She is.
And you have separated yourself, Viv. And it's like, yo, eventually I knew it. I was like, okay, how long is it going to take? She keeps throwing this in his face. He keeps going back over there. And when he ended up back here last night, I was like, That's it. It was crazy.
But it was really crazy. Rebel that he wanted, and I thought that it would have been Rebel. I was like, why'd he sleep with Rebel before he sleep with this girl? And it was really her that he wanted anyway. He just went over there and, you know, let it out on her. But,
absolutely. And that's what I thought, Vivian. I said, all right, so you didn't get it with the chick you wanted to get it with. So by her pressuring you, now you get ready to let it off with somebody that, you know, well, she wants it and I want it. It may not be with her, but I want it. So let me just go ahead and, you know, get my rock off. So, yeah, I agree 100%. I agree. On a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, where does it fall with you this episode?
I think I'll do a 4 this week. I really enjoyed the prayer scene and when she killed it. A lot of the acting and a lot of the scenes and writing was really trash, but I really enjoyed it, and it had me screaming at the screen. So anytime you get me screaming at the screen, that's a good show.
All righty. Thank you so much for joining us this week.
You're welcome.
Have a blessed day. All righty.
You too.
All right, Shanti. So what was your thought on him actually caving in to the pressure of, you know, having sex with the girlfriend?
I wasn't at all surprised. And I felt the same thing when he, you know, I was low-key hoping that him and Rebel kissed because I felt like it would have been, okay, so I'm saying to myself, if they hook up, then this would be a better match for him and for her. For him, because he wants to be able to have that relationship where he can vibe with someone musically as well, and be able to have that type of good influence on the musically, like how he was able to open Rebel's eyes to her mother's music and her friend's journal. And she was like, this isn't gospel, or, you know, he sees her saying, I can't use this. And he's like, yeah, you can. And now, you know, he's showing her. And for her, you know, someone who is in this industry, who sees the importance of not just being in this industry, but being in this industry for God, and that you can still make some dope music and be able to express yourself, even with how you feel about God now, you can produce some dope gospel music, even with how you feel about God now, and now show that level of transition and elevation into God as your songs go on. But like you said, when he ended up back at the house, I was like, here we go. Because again, people, it's just like, you know, you knew on your way over there how you were feeling sexually. You knew. I don't know who you trying to fool, because I'm not even in this scene, and I know how I would have felt. You knew on your way over there it was going to go down. She wasn't going to have to say anything. She could have cussed you out, knocked you over the head with that bottle of champagne and wine, whatever she was drinking, and y'all still would have got it in because of how you was feeling. You already knew she was sexually frustrated, and now you're sexually frustrated, and you're going back over there. That was just a recipe for that happening. That was going to be the only way it wouldn't have happened is if one of y'all really pulled a real weapon out, like a gun or something, and that would have just turned you off, possibly. And that's the only way that it wouldn't have gone down. But, yeah, no, I wasn't at all surprised, and it was just like, this is how we set ourselves up for the okey-doke.
Yep, and the way they put him walking through the door, you know that look.
Right.
When they said he walked through the door, I was like, it's going down. It's going down. You know, because he's already lit. You know, now I have something to ask you before we touch on, you know, go to the passage. You said something, you know, I was low-key hoping that they would kiss. My thing was, would that have been good for her?
If they had kissed?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're hoping that, you know, everyone can abstain from anything like that, but we're talking real. I think had he stayed focused and strong enough, I think that would have been good, because again, you're talking about someone coming from this particular lifestyle. You know, and had, like, so let's say it hadn't been, okay, they kissed, and, you know, maybe he pulled away or something, and then, you know, it may have been this, like, little off and on conversation about what happened, and why are you feeling me? Well, why are you feeling me? And, you know, so on and so forth, because you can see he's really serious about, you know, him getting fired by his mother. It doesn't seem like it's really phasing him at all. It's almost like a relief for him.
Right.
But he really, you can even tell from the scenes of him in the studio with his girlfriend, like, I want this. You know, I love the fact that you want me to help you with your music and so on and so forth, but it has to be done right. It has, you know, I'm a gospel producer. I'm not just a musical producer. I don't want to be involved in every genre. You know, I want it to be contemporary gospel. And now it's like, you know, I want to do this. But even even outside of the studio, I want us to be able to still have this type of vibe inside and outside of the studio. So I feel like for Rebel, she needs someone like that. You know, you talking to her about celibacy, all that ain't going to work. You already see that. But now you show her, even if they don't officially hook up now, but you show her that it's possible to have a healthy relationship with someone who is willing to push you properly in this area, and at the same time show you, like, okay, listen, the same way he, you know, gave that explanation to his girlfriend, well, this is why I'm practicing celibacy, and he was to give that to her, but to show that we can still be effective inside and outside of the studio, I think that would be good for someone like her to be able to see that.
But if you didn't already open up the kitchen, then you didn't just open up your body to another desire. So, you know, would she have been a better match for him? And I know I'm not talking reality. You know, I'm talking
right.
from 55, 56 years old. You know, we're talking about people that age, people indulge in that lifestyle. And that's why I'm bringing this up. Because,
right.
you know, when you open up the door to this stuff, now to try to go backwards is almost
right.
impossible. And that's for anybody on any late age level. You know,
right.
once you start breathing hard on somebody's neck, you done messed up. So
mm-hmm.
now if you open up to the kitchen and now they've shown the scene that her boyfriend, once they showed the boyfriend traveling, I was like, oh, she's going to get it in with Caesar or Tosh. Because now the boyfriend ain't here. He's getting on my nerves. She need to drop him the way she
mm-hmm.
dropped the stripper hat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really, you know, I think he could possibly have made a wrong move had he kissed her. I think she's in a space where this would be more disastrous. That's just me, you know, more disastrous than, you know, beneficial. And I do, you know, take into consideration what you said, but I don't know.
No, whenever we do those things, and like you said, you know, we open ourselves up, you know, to that, you know, and that's exactly what I thought when he gave in sexually to the girlfriend. I said, now he really can't ever tell her no again.
Right.
You didn't set yourself up to never being able to tell yourself no, and you'll never be able to tell her. You're going to have to break up with her now. You're going to, because you ain't been beating her down all these 3 months. And now you finally did, and it looked like she liked it. You really can't tell her no just off of that. She liked
right.
it. If it had been whacked, you could tell her no all the time because she'd be having someone else be it down, okay? So,
yeah.
But if she liked it, especially if she liked it, now you can't tell yourself no, and now you can't really tell her no. You know, again, so I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. And coming from someone where this sex thing has been some really challenged my salvation, you know, you gotta really, really be on point and make sure you don't do things like that, you know, to open yourselves up. At the same time, you know, I know what it is also to want to have that in a particular way, and then you possibly see that with someone, there's a whole lot of Jesus names you got to call on, because you already see that they're attracted to each other, Taj and Rebel. And it's not only the physical, you know, and already is like a safe dangerous, if that's, you know, a term I just made up. That's already a safe dangerous, because it's one thing to only be attracted to someone physically, but now, you know, professionally and creatively, I'm attracted to you. You really in some trouble now. You know, you really in some trouble now. So, you know, you really have to be on guard with that. But we do have some comments, Pastor Steph, really quick, even regarding kind of that situation. The first comment sent in was, I like how Caesar got rid of Rebel's boyfriend, calling the manager of Migos, asking if they needed a DJ, and homeboy didn't even wait to tell Rebel the good news. He just packed up and was ready to leave for the tour. Like, bro, where was the partnership?
Right. Good point, listener. Good point. What else you got, Shanti?
Okay, then I got Rebel and Taj are going to end up together.
Okay. I see that coming.
Right. Then we have, I see that too. We see that Z is not for her. He doesn't want her having any spotlight and doesn't support her. He's very self-centered.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, then we have, yes, we have a few more. Then we have definitely, I wouldn't be surprised if he cheats while on tour and Taj will be Rebel's quote-unquote shoulder to lean on.
Okay. I see that coming.
Mm-hmm. Then we have, I feel like the girlfriend, Taj's girlfriend, was the lesser of two evils to him.
Ah, and that was part of my thought. I was like, okay, so go ahead and get your rocks off with the girlfriend. So by the time you get to Rebel, you'll be all right.
You can show Rebel how this goes, but you can't show that how it goes. That's why you got to break up with her.
Right. But she don't need to be with her no way. So good.
Right.
Let it.
Right. Okay, then we got, I think that was Z's last scene in the show.
Yo, I didn't even think about that. I love the listeners. Oh, my gosh.
A nice exit scene. Okay. Then we have Taj's girlfriend is plotting to show she can break any dude. She said she didn't want a weak man because the men she dated were weak. And then she even told him, I know you are a strong man. And then Taj said, I'm not a strong man today. LOL.
Wow.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yes, we have two more comments. Then we have, the girlfriend wasn't trying to follow God. Either way, God is boring in her eyes. A rebel has some hope.
Okay. Nice thought.
Okay. Then we have, what about the song, Let Me Take You to the Church, Baby?
Oh, I'm saving that for the pastors. Oh.
Okay. Can I give my quick thing on that, or would you like me to comment after you speak to them? Either way,
I'll let you come back and comment. Oh, okay. Another trash song. Okay, but we'll be back with you, Shanti. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, listeners. Point well made. Point well taken. Thank you so much. All right, Shanti, we'll be back. Hold on to that. Don't tell me you forgot it later. All right?
Okay.
Thanks. All righty. Oh, Pastor Charlene, I'm going to start with you. Good morning. What's your two cents?
Good morning. How are you?
Nice. Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Where do you want me to start? Because I got a lot to say.
Okay, well, give me one point, then we're going to take it to the other two, and then we'll come back for more.
Alrighty. So since we are ended with Tim's the son sleeping with the girlfriend, then I'll start right there then. I said the same thing. He did it because he did not want to. He was scared that he would have slept with Rebel. That's the name, right? Am I saying the names right? Because you're not messing people's names. Okay.
Yep.
And they would have got very emotionally attached. So he ran in. He didn't give no time. That's what he needed to do. But the problem going to be is that guilt is going to kick his butt. So when he finished, that's when guilt's going to come in. He's going to be angry with himself for allowing himself to fall. So now that whole relationship is going to turn to a whole nother direction. And with Rebel, he's able to speak to her, talk to her, be himself with her, and just like y'all was saying about on the ministry side, on the friendship side, they are going to have a relationship, and she listens to him. Because remember, she ain't listening to nobody else, but she listens to him, and that's how she went back to Caesar and was saying, you know what, I'm going to do the song.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Let me pass this around to the pastors and see what they got to say. Let me hit Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. What's your 2 cents here?
On the sex scene?
On anything. On anything. You can elaborate if you choose, or if you want to bring up another point.
Well, I think the young lady was just a dumping ground. What color was sexually frustrated, and
mm-hmm.
I think he knows within himself that Rebel is the one, but he wasn't ready to do that. He was trying to abstain from doing that. So he went. This chick, the garbage was already taken out on the other side. So he just went in and put some more garbage in it.
Wow! 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 Interesting, interesting, interesting phrasing. Wow. Okay. Ooh. All right. All right. Let me talk to Pastor Ed and see if he watched this episode and what he's got to say. Good morning, Pastor Ed. Welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be back. Hope everyone is doing well.
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm doing good.
Good. Good, good, good. Well, what you know, since the first two were there, let's keep it here. You know, you've heard enough on what was said. And did you watch the episode 4?
No, I haven't watched it. I'm gonna have to figure out a way to go ahead and break down and get this app so I can actually see the episodes.
Well, actually, surprisingly for all of you, I happened to glance this morning and saw that the episode 4 is on YouTube. So maybe episode 5 might be on YouTube as well. For those of you who are finding, you know, the little challenge, I told you to reach out to me and let me know if you're finding it, you know, a challenge as to how, you know, to get to watch it. But I did see that episode 4 was on YouTube, and maybe now that the series, this first season has ended, maybe YouTube can show, you know, will be allowed to show it. So Pastor A, you know, you hear everyone talking about this issue of, you know, he wanted to be with the stripper girl, really. He's falling for her. But now, you know, he's this other chick that he's with is pressuring him for sex. He said that, you know, he's been abstaining all this time. And finally, you've heard it phrased in many different ways, leaving off with Pastor KL's phrasing. You know, what is the danger in, you know, again, trying to stand our ground spiritually, you know, from being in these sticky situations but not running when we get the opportunity to run?
Yeah, but just from hearing all the other comments, and I did get a chance to see the first episode, so I was introduced to some of these characters. He's hurt himself in the sense of that witness and that he was trying to have with the girlfriend. He completely destroyed that by caving in, because now as far as she's concerned, she's got him, you know, and.
Yep.
Based upon the description of her response to them having sex, she's going to want it again and again. And
yeah.
Now he's killed every argument that he would have had, you know, before he was standing on the word and standing behind the fact that he wanted to remain pure and celibate. Well, now you've destroyed that, and she's going to use that against you each time. And it's, their relationship is not going to work. It's not going to last, because now she's this dark secret that is the source of now this guilt and conviction he's going to have, and he's going to end up resenting her. You know, he's using her, but he's going to end up resenting her, because in a way it'll help him turn some of the blame for him falling to her. And I could tell just from witnessing them in the first episode, he had no business being with her. They're like night and day, oil and water.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Ooh, Pastor KL, you know, give us one of your something else you saw and you want to comment on, whether we talked about it or not.
I think my favorite scene was when the pastor went to Caesar and he was trying to puff up his chest and act like he had him. It was almost like a chess game. I'm not sure if it's
yeah.
made of chess. It was almost like a chess game.
Yeah.
And Caesar kind of just stood there and waited for him to make all his moves. And then he kind of
yep.
said, you know, is this your final answer? Meaning, do you really, really want to go there? And he said, absolutely. So he said, since you want to play, as Brother Al would say, you want to play rough, huh? Okay. But he already had the ace card. He already had
right.
the trump. And was sitting on the desk. See, that was the ironic part. That it wasn't tucked away nowhere. It was right in a folder on the desk as if he knew, you know, saying
right.
he was about to make this move. So now
yep.
he said, okay, chessmate, here you go. I thought that was fabulous.
Yep. Yep. Pastor Charlotte, you know, what's your thought on that scene?
I was like, yes, get him. Hit that card on the table. Hey, I play spades. I like to hit it loud on the table. Take that. And then he's like you said, he just sat there. He was real calm about it. He was like, oh, and let me let you know, that's just a copy. So don't think that it's the original when you got it. So,
yeah.
And he walked, had to pick his face up off the floor and just to walk out. So, but the best part for me was when he told the wife. That was the best part for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was dying to see how he was going to, that conversation, what would happen in that conversation. Because I'm saying to myself now, he's not oblivious to the fact that they didn't have a thing even since they've been married. This thing going
mm-hmm.
back before the marriage. Pastor Kale, do you detect that this is like since they've been married?
This is way before. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, they had, with the reaction of her face, they had no marriage. You know, it was just a cover-up for the church. That's all.
Right.
You know, we needed the president and the first lady to look good for the church, for the body. You know, but they had no marriage. I mean, he was doing his thing. And then what cracked me up about he was doing his thing, the young lady found herself back in the office with both of them. So that,
yeah.
My God, even in the house of God, you know, you didn't even go outside the church.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
To find your little... sneaky link, as they say down here. You know, you did it right there. I mean, how much more convenient and disrespectful is that to
yep.
your wife and to the house of the God, of the Lord?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Charlotte, you know, do you believe that this is something that, you know, has started before they were married and still continued even after they were married between her and Caesar?
Yes, I do believe that. And I think that it was an arranged marriage that the father put them together.
Mm-hmm.
Because how the father is coming in and he's still running the show. He's just not in front of the people. Because
right.
when he makes his comments, he said, now don't make me have to, you clean it up. Don't make me have to come behind you to fix it. Don't make me have
yep.
to come behind you. So he's running him. So I think that it's an ongoing. I think that it got to a point where that the father might have told the wife and Caesar, okay, y'all going to have to kill this. Y'all going to have to let this go because of the image that we have projected in front of the people. You know,
mm-hmm.
so she's deeply in love with him because when he gave her the letter and she was looking at it, you see how she was like, oh, my God. Like, them feelings was like just going in her mind, going back and playing
yeah.
back into that. How do we get out of this? You know, but I think at the end, well, they're going to do a little something.
You know, I also, and this is what I want to bring to Pastor Ed, you know, so you had the father, her father, on the outside, you know, who, and she keeps talking about this daddy thing, you know, what if daddy, or what about daddy? She keeps bringing up this daddy thing. You know, she's in love. What happens is, you know, he puts out an injunction to stop her from singing the songs that he originally wrote. She's about to go on tour, and he wants to stop her. So he sends this injunction, and she serves, and she has to stop. So now they're trying to figure out who is going to go over there and talk to him and try to get him to stop the injunction. So the husband decides, Michael Beach decides he's going to go over there. Goes over there, and he's, like, trying to bully his way, but as both Pastor Charlotte and Pastor KL said, oh, he was very, very ready. You know, it was sitting on the table, on the desk. He said, you know, well, here's a copy, you know, of it. You can keep that one. You know, he was very smooth about it. He's not going to let them bully him because he's holding the trump. He's holding the trump card. And so often, this is the truth, you know. Pastor KL also brought up the fact that, you know, his little side chickie, and as Shanti said, the main side chick, is the secretary. And they show us the going down. And what a mess. What a mess. What a mess. What does this say about church folk, Pastor Ed?
Well, that's the thing about it. I know the title is Kingdom Business, but it sounds more like Kingdom Chaos, or like you said, Kingdom Mess. all of these, obviously, it's definitely meant to entertain today's audience, because the church is being presented, not just the church, but the gospel music industry, you know, the whole thing is being presented in such a negative light. Now, obviously we know we're all human. We know we all have flaws, but this is like highlighting everything that the world goes after, that, you know, that the world seemingly lives for, but yet it's those who are supposed to be sold out believers of Jesus Christ acting out in this manner. So, boy, I guess folks are saying, you know, why jump out of the, out of the frying pan into the fire, if this is what the church and this whole Christian gospel industry is about?
Well, I want to quickly discuss that because I know, Pastor Ed, you have to go in a little bit, and then I'll come back to Pastor Charlene and Pastor KL talking about specific scenes. That was one of the things that I've talked about with Shantice. I've talked about to Pastor KL. So in the last few weeks, Devon Franklin's faith has been up in front of this thing. You know, initially they just showed that Kirk Franklin was the executive producer of this series. Excuse me. But now they're showing Devon Franklin. And we talked about Devon Franklin here, you know, when he was, you know, married to Megan Good, and we dissected their, you know, their comment regarding, you know, when they were getting a divorce. I had two thoughts. The first thought I had was, who do they have writing for this show? Is this some Christian person, or is this some random person who's writing? Well, let me tell you something. In order to write so well about the church, this stuff is real. So this is somebody who's been in the church, and they've seen this stuff, and they're exposing the church. And you've been allowed, you've signed your name, Kirk Franklin, Devon Franklin. You've signed on to get the church exposed. Let's stay there. Don't, because I got another point, but I don't want you to step on the point. I'm going to go through the three of you. You know, what's your thought in regards to, you know, you're going to put your money, because the executive producer has dollars down on this thing here. You know, you put your money out there as a Christian person to allow the church to be exposed at this point and to this degree. What's your thought, Pastor Ed?
Okay. Well, the first thing, though, that comes to mind is, you know, a lot of people, we're talking about the entertainment industry, regardless of what the subject matter or the theme is, is the entertainment industry. And sometimes these executive producers don't realize you may be funding it, but there may be something in the contract that says you don't have complete creative control. In other words,
wow.
You know, there's a producer, there's writers that, you know, yes, your money, and you're going to make whatever money comes off of it, but you may not have creative control, especially if you didn't have the savvy. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that that's the case here, but if you didn't have the savvy.
No, but even a possibility. Wow.
Yeah, that was written into your contract, because you find years later with different shows, and you go back and you talk to the folks that are involved, how they were a part of it, but they were very disgruntled because of the direction that the whatever it was went.
Wow.
So second, if they were aware, then I just find it strange. Yes, we want to be real with people. Yes, you want to give your testimony to let people know what they can overcome. So I guess my only hope is that somewhere in the plot, which I don't know if that's going to happen because it may kill the show, but somewhere in the plot there's going to be some great redemption that takes place. Somebody's life is going to be turned around, and then they can show it from the point of you could have been here and now you're there. But again, these are leaders, major leaders in the church that are so messed up, and they're continuing in this way. You know, the bishop is teaching and leading and a congregation and a flock, and he's just tore up in every way possible. His wife, you know, even the whole image of marriage as what it's supposed to be, that's not even real. So they're just, I mean,
right.
Every vice you can think of is represented in what I've seen and heard portrayed of this show.
Absolutely. Oh, Pastor KL, you know, we've talked about this one-on-one. You know, and about how you sign your name and you're the face as an executive producer, you know, of this chaos within the church. You know, what's your thought?
Well, I mean, again, would I have done it? No, you know, but everybody, you know, everybody's mindset is different. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, some folks are just doing it for the money. I don't see how exposing the church helps the church. You know, the people on the other side of the church already feel this way. So now you're just confirming what they're feeling. It's already a fight or a feat to try to invite somebody to church because of the bad taste that's in their mouth. So now you give them this, and we still trying to win souls, which makes it even more difficult. Because we can't get them in the house of God. Now you're showing them on the pole. You're showing them having sex. You're showing husband and wife in clergy doing stuff that we know we're not supposed to be doing. And this is what they've been saying about us anyway. The pimp in the pulpit.
Yep.
You know, we've been titled already as negative. And now you just want to shine light on it? No, I don't think that's a good thing. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. I mean, I just don't understand how you following the word, but you corrupting the word at the same time.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Charlotte, you know, what's your thought on, you know, hey, I'll put my money behind this thing. You know, it's a kingdom business. It's supposed to showcase the church, and man, is the church being showcased?
Yes, it is. I thought of, as everybody was speaking, I thought of they showing the kingdom, and it is about the business of the money, and they have to keep the people keep coming back. So they just showing a little bit of everything. Now, thank the Lord, it's not on our for us, but there are things that they are showing that we do know that it does happen, you know, and Pastor KL is right, that where that it's hard enough trying to get the people, and when people are watching this, they're really not, because people just need a little something for them not to come to Christ. Oh, see, why should I do that? Look at that. OC, and it's a hard piece of being able to minister to others when you're too busy looking at what is going on in front of you, you know, just as well as when we hear about the fighting. I'm waiting for the fight to break out in the church. You know, that's another piece that, you know, people deal with, you know. So where do we go from here of all of these? And this is not going to be I'm sure this isn't the only show that's out now. You know, and they just showing different parts. And then you walk and you hear, you're reading, you're hearing on, you know, going to hearing other people talk about different ministries. So it is very hard, you know. And then I thank you, Pastor Ed, because I didn't think about that fine print that everybody needs to be reading before you lay your money down.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that is important because you're right. If you got a whole bunch of people doing different parts, I'm going to show this is my part. I want this to be on there as well. When you sign this line, you better read it upside down, flip it over, get a lawyer that you can trust. And that's even hard because they paid them off too. So I thank you, Pastor Ed, for even bringing that to the attention. You know, that's crazy.
Wow. All right, Pastor Ed, we know you got to go pay the bills. Is there anything you want to close with?
Again, I'll say this. I hope, you know, I guess their goal is to show the flaws that exist, but I hope that there's a resolution also planned, and this isn't just a creative entertainment, you know, let us show all the flaws, but we're not going to show how they can be fixed or how, you know, how they're resolved when we talk about the kingdom. Because like both pastors have said, we're struggling now, trying to lift Christ up and draw people into the church. This isn't going to help us in any way. If anything, it may hurt us because it kind of gives credibility to what so many naysayers are already saying and thinking.
Absolutely. But before you go, this is the question that I wanted to pose to the three of you. And you just give this piece and then you could go ahead and pay the bills. My other thought was, I was talking to Pastor Kale and I said, you know what? Maybe God is saying, you know, we're looking at it as, which is very true. You know, we can't even get the people to come in when the church look good. So now we're trying to get the church is looking worse. And now it's like, how are we going to tell people to come to church now? Because they're going to like, well, as Shantice always says, it's safe in the club. But could this be, you know, listen, God has warned us about the wolves in sheep's clothing. Could this be God allowing this to happen to expose the church and maybe people get an opportunity to choose differently? Now they're, you know, now they have to be a little more trusting, but they have to choose differently or whatever way you want to look at it. You know, what could this be, God just allowing this to be exposed at the end of the day so that he gets the glory? I don't know. What you think?
I'll say this. I hope it's his way because based upon meaning that there is an end point to this. But my thing is when you're talking about unbelievers or even new believers, you know, they've got to see that in spite of all this corruption and all these bad things that are being shown, somewhere there's got to be, you know, in a plot, there's a protagonist and an antagonist, you know, the hero, what have you. I hope there's a saved, born again, blood washed, as we say, hero that's going to come out and just, that says, despite all of these corrupt folks that are around, you know, God is still real and he's able to do it. Somehow, in other words, for that to work and for God to use this as an exposing and to help people make better decisions, there's got to be somewhere written into the plot. This, you know, they walk off into the sunset with the Lord leading and guiding them in the right way. It's just right now with what I've seen and heard, I'm trying to figure out how that's going to happen.
All righty. Thank you, Pastor Ed. We pray you have a blessed, you know, a blessed day. Thank you for your contribution into this conversation. so much. Thank you. Always good to have you on. Good to have you on, Pastor Ed. You know, Pastor Charlene. Thank you. You know, Pastor Charlene, at the end of the day, no matter how bad this is, we have to think about the fact that God is allowing all of this to go on. You know, I always think of when people say, oh, you know, the enemy did this and the enemy did that. God has allowed the enemy to have a certain amount of control and leverage. And, you know, it's not that he's not, you know, in control anymore, but again, it's his allowance. So that's why my head goes to God. If you're allowing all of this to be exposed, because in all honesty, this stuff is not lying. This is real. We know about if you stay in the wrong space too much, when it's the temptation of sex, you're going to break down, whether it's because you want somebody else or because, you know, you just hot, you know, you end up being broken down. You know, so many things. We know that there are fake marriages from the head that's fake. We know that. I mean, this stuff, unfortunately, is not a lie, as bad as it's being presented. But again, I have to think about God's allowance. Well, what's your thought?
And you're absolutely right. He is allowing it for us to see ourselves, for us to be able, so he still gives us another chance to get it right, for us to be able to see in the mirror, but on the screen, what part are you playing, what part you are not playing. He still gives us another chance. Yes, I truly believe that the Lord is pulling covers off of people. And where that, as we know, he's going to start with the church, and where that you get another opportunity before he pull a cover off of you, that for you to get it right. So, yes, I do agree that he allows it for different reasons. You know, if you in it, get it right while you still have a chance. So I do agree with you. Yes, he is.
All righty. Pastor KL, you know, you and I have spoken about this before, and, you know, my thought is, you know, hey, you know, if not for the world, for us to now say, you know what, now I know I got to work harder because I know what I'm up against. You know, a lot of times we can't do our job, you know, to the most effective degree until we know what we're competing against. And right now, this is what we clean, hardworking, dedicated pastors are working against. So now, yes, it makes our job harder, but now we have to become more strategic as to how to get to these people who don't know God. What's your thought?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. You know, God is sovereign, meaning that he can do anything he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. You know, he told the enemy, he said, listen, you know, do as you wish to Job. Just don't mess with his soul. You know, he can do whatever he wants to do. So I believe that can be a wake-up call for us as pastors, you know, that you know, we have to be more strategic and work harder. However, I do say that when there is sin in the camp, it makes it quite difficult. You know, when we are all the body of Christ, and on the left side of our body there's cancer, now we're fighting against the cure of the body, which makes it difficult for the body to work effectively. If you have a disease or any ailment in your body, you can't work as well as you want to work without getting rid of the cancer. You know, if you get caught into a fire, the fire itself may not burn you to death, but the smoke ingestion may kill you. So a lot of times with new folks, if they're in the smoke, they didn't come in there for the fire. They came in there to do right. But because there's sin in the camp, you know, sometimes that flows like a wildfire, you know, and everybody gets consumed by it. You know, the body is only as good as the head. So if the head, in this case, if the head is messed up, You've got to know that the body coming down the line is going to be screwed up as well.
Absolutely.
Can God fix it? Yes, he can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whew. All right. Pastor Shawna, we got a couple more minutes. You know, you said that you had some thought as, you know, so as you watched, you know, some other things that stuck out to you. What you got?
Going back to Rebel. So, well, my one was the one y'all was talking about when she came into the office. So, she knows about the street, but she's not a thug. So that little scene that they didn't make it to where, like, she, you know, she was hard. Even when you go back to when she was with her friend and, you know, they'd be talking, you know, that, you know, she was just hyped up when they was in the strip club. And remember that scene? She was like, what's the matter? What's the matter? You know, but it wasn't like she was a thug, because you're right. Table, that whole desk would have been upside down, you know. She wouldn't be looking the same way, and, you know, so that part as of the scene of that, as well as when even the part with Caesar, I'm trying to remember people's name, Caesar, when she keeps letting him know, you asked for me. I didn't come to you. You know, so even in the scenes of those, you know, you could tell she's not really street. You know, they don't okay. have her like that. She know about the street, but she ain't, you know, she ain't like, she ain't like that.
All right.
That would have been me, though, in my former days. That would have been me, though.
Oh, we know that. We know that. Pastor KL, you know, well, what stuck out to you in this episode?
You know, just like Pastor Charlotte said, she's definitely not street. She's straddling the fence. You know, she heard about Jesus, you know, saying, and she heard about the street. She's all about money. I mean, that's the bottom line. Her whole thing is where she can go to get to the next level financially. So she's all about money. So though she's mad, you know, because of her mother's situation, you know, she really ain't that one to come up in there and turn over tables and stuff like that. Now, one thing I've learned in school, that the punks are always stronger with an entourage. You know what I mean? When somebody's behind them saying, you can win, then all of a sudden, they get their strength and they get their courage, knowing they can't fight, but they get this courage because people are pushing them behind them. There was nobody behind her in that room. So as she spoke and then watched, Yolanda Adams stood up. It was over after that. Because she realized the fight that would have came from Yolanda Adams. So all she could do is knock over papers. Because she really didn't want that smoke. Now, had Yolanda just sat there and didn't do nothing, then, you know, her mouth and her energy would have got higher and higher because she thought she would have had her scared. But Yolanda said, try it, baby. Come on. This ain't what you want. And the conversation was over.
Yep. Because you could even see her body language deflate. See Yolanda Adams
right.
stood up. She didn't even say much, but just her standing. I was like, oh, you about to go away? Because her body language completely just caved in. On a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, Pastor Charlotte, what do you rate this episode at?
-1. I don't like none of them. I just followed what my boss told me to do.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Pastor KL.
Listen, I'm just being obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I think this is the worst show in the world. Absolutely worst. Absolutely the worst. They waste a lot of time and money for this show.
Negative a number. Thank you so much for your contribution, both of you, into this conversation. And you brought out some excellent points today. Thank you so much. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Likewise. You do as well.
Before I go, I just want to...
Wait, hold on. Don't go no way, Pastor Charlotte.
I'm five.
Wait. Say what you said again.
I was saying that my favorite part was when she was singing with her mother and they were showing the video as her little girl, and I would rate that a 10.
Okay. Yeah, very well done. Thank you, Pastor Charlene. All righty. I promised Shanti she'd have 5 minutes, and I'm sure she's gotten some comments by now. So let's see what all the listeners have to say about what we've spoken about. Shantice, what you got over there?
Oh, we got a lot. Okay, so we have, they're talking about Taj. Well, let's start here. Comment was sent in. The only one who's able to keep the mother quiet was her father. He was talking down to her husband. And you could see the areas where Danita didn't agree with the father, but she didn't say anything.
Okay,
then we have Danita is a trash wife. The man she really loves is Caesar. However, she's so scared of her daddy. She's afraid to let him know that she really loves Caesar, not the man who he arranged, you know, the marriage to be with. Her father arranged the marriage to be with.
Okay.
And then we have God specializes in using broken people, so using Taj, so God could possibly be using Taj's brokenness to reach Rebel. We have the only positive role was the son, and even he fell from grace. And then someone responded and said, well, look at the story of David. He fell from grace but was able to rebound through God.
Amen.
Okay, then we have a comment sent in, and the more we talk about it, the more I think that it wasn't such a bad day of what Taj did. Don't get me wrong, he definitely failed that test and everything, but the fact that he was knocked down a peg in the eyes of Rebel can actually get her closer to God.
No? Okay, that's a thought.
Then we have, but again, that destroys his witness for his girlfriend. Remember, God is not an at least God. Well, at least he can still minister to Rebel. He wanted both of those lives.
Ooh, nice. I like that.
Then there was a response to that. Not necessarily. He just caved once. Doesn't mean that it's over forever.
Okay. Yes, get yourself up, dust yourself off, and, you know, get back in the good graces of the Lord. Okay. Wow, got some interesting conversation going on. Interesting conversation. You did ask, could you make one final statement, Shantice? Do you remember what that was?
Oh, my goodness, that song. She was so gung-ho about this being a church song, and I'm like, she has to be high. Or something. She has to be playing. Like, you're really, and like a listener sent in, like, you're really going back and forth with him about this being a church song because you said the word church, because you saying worship my body and all of this. That is not a church song. And it reminds me of that Meek Mill song, Amen. I think that was the name of it. Years ago, Meek Mill put out a song with Jeremiah. And it was just like, what? The cussing in the song and you know, Meek Mill talking about, you know, bowing down and worshiping, and it was all sexual. It had so much to do with sex. And, you know, if you listen to these rap songs and they talk about how they be having the women and, you know, doing this to the women sexually and, you know, then they trashing them and going to the next one. That's pretty much what that song was about. And that's what her song last night reminded me of. It was, but I'll tell you one thing. She is definitely establishing, and I keep forgetting her name, but she is establishing herself to really have her own. She won't be labeled as Megan Good's sister too much longer after playing this role. Like,
is
she's going to be able to. Yes, you didn't know. She looks just like her.
I was trying to figure out who she looks like, but I didn't make the connection. Okay.
Yes, that's her sister.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so now you got the Von Franklin connection. Okay, I got you.
Yes,
got you.
Yes. That's her older sister. And she's definitely establishing, because she's had other little roles. They actually played in that Video Girl movie together a few years ago. Yeah, they played in that thing. And she's had other, you know, small little roles. Nothing ever, you know, big. That movie that they played in together was the only movie I ever saw her in when she had, like, more of an established role. And she was okay in that. She was pretty okay in that. But, after, you know, with her, as crazy as she is in this one and everything, I think she's really establishing herself to really have her own identity outside of, like, oh, that's Megan Good's sister. You know, so it's just like that you really, and again, this ain't nothing they're making up, because people really make songs like this. And my thing is, did y'all run out of things to talk about in the world? Which I don't know how. Y'all could run out of anything to talk about in this world. Then now you got to tap into church and now pervert that in your music.
Well, that's what it comes down to. The word of God always ends up getting watered down to nothing. And that's where we are in the world. Thank you so much, Shantice, for your contribution in today's conversation. Thank you so much, listeners. Oh, you've done a fine job with this episode. A whole lot more than I thought was going to come out of this episode. We pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's get that benediction. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. So much has come out of this particular episode. Like I said, personally, a lot more than I actually thought was going to come out. It's been a challenge to watch this, and for some reason I'm hoping that no one thinks that, you know, I'm enjoying this. I think the most disturbing thing is how forget about the acting, you know, whether good or bad, but just the church being, you know, just uncovered, not badly where, you know, oh, they telling lies on us, but badly where, yo, this is real. And I have to go back to, you know, I've been getting some kickback. I will say openly, I've been getting, we have to watch this, and I don't want to watch this, I don't watch shows like this. You know what? We can't always talk about the good stuff. You know, we have to really, if we're going to be pastors, we're going to have to get down in the trenches, and we're going to have to defend Christ. We're going to have to speak up about this stuff that is going on in the church, in the world, and the combined forces, and how the church is representing God. And, you know, no, it's very ugly. It's something that we don't, you know, what we would normally watch, you know, but listen, we're going to have to do what we got to do. You know, we talk about the news. Well, this is news. This is news. You know, this is news. And as much as I really despise the uncovering like this, that's why I brought up the issue of God, his allowance and his will. If God did not want the church to be exposed at this level, you better believe he would not allow it. Whether it's something we watched, whether it's something that people didn't watch, whether it's something that, you know, only five people could see. Nah. He is allowing this for some reason. And we may not see why right now. But I have to go back to this. I have to go back to, you know, just saying to God, what are you trying to do right now? What are you trying to show us, those of us who are clean, those of us who are just, we don't tolerate that nonsense, those of us who are standing firm on your foundation, and we wouldn't even consider doing these things. You know, they say never, no, I'm sorry. That's a myth. That's a street term, never say never. You can't tell me that I can't say that I would never be in some of these things that this show is exposing. And I have to respect God for whatever he is exposing. And that's why when he says, listen, I need you to get out here. I need you to take that proof down this journey who does not live, they don't live this life. What can they say to people who are actually watching this, who have the same title, but they're not living this way? And the question becomes, are enough of us talking about it? Are enough of us talking about it? You know, are we on the platforms? We have a huge platform. Again, we're in 48 countries. Our top country is Cambodia, a country that don't even speak English, but they get BET+. What are they thinking? What are these countries thinking? You know, Republic of Congo, the Republic of Tanzania, and the Korea, and China, and Nigeria, and Kenya, and Italy, and Turkey. Yes, this is where we are. They have access to this. What are they seeing that we need to clear up, that we need to let them know, as well as the American people, that yes, we may be seeing this, and there are people that live like this, and we can't do nothing about them. However, we need to let you know that this is not the God we serve, that they are off for their own, on their own tangent, doing their own purpose, serving themselves. This has nothing to do with God. And we may not ever figure out ultimately what God is trying to get at, or what, you know, ultimately he will do with, you know, we all know that how you're going to go down at the end of the day, but you get my point. You know, we don't know the immediate, you know, we know the final end, but, you know, I also think it's a wake up call for the church. The same way we talked last week about the bishop who was robbed. $1 million between him and his wife on jewelry, but yet he's sitting up in an impoverished community with no formula. You know, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing for God's people? Yes or no? You as a congregate, you don't even have to be a bishop or a first lady, or as they call them, or someone who's in the gospel industry, but are you serving Christ where others could look at you and say, that's a person. I need to know that the change that took place in them, where are they going? Who is the God that they serve? Because I need my life turned around just like that. Is it a hard watch? Absolutely. Is it something that we would spend our time doing? Can we spend our time doing something better? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, no, we can't spend our time doing nothing better. Not when the world is being shown this stuff. What are we supposed to be doing? We need to stop doing all this other stuff that we're doing, and we need to get down in the trenches, and we need to tell these people the God that really controls this world. That is our job. We need to do it. We don't need to be murmuring about it. We need to be the first one sitting up looking at it so we can turn this world around here on earth. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now or deepen your relationship with the Lord. Later may be too late. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it is Wow Wednesday. I love you.